Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
We need to roll back the state. We spy on all of our own citizens.
Our prisons are flooded with nonviolent drug offenders.
If you want to know who America's next enemy is, look at who we're funding right now. Every single one of these problems are a result of government being way too big.
You're listening to Part of the Problem on the Gas Digital Network. Here's your host, Dave Smith.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to a brand new episode of Part of the Problem. I'm Dave Smith. He's Robbie the Fire. He's Robbie the Fire Bernstein. There, I'm stumbling already.
Robbie Firecock.
There you go.
We're just going to abbreviate it. Get right to it.
Well, I'm
Firecock.
I'm very happy to be back with you. It's been a little while. Happy to have my partner in crime, and we got a whole bunch of stuff to talk about. But how you been doing? How are the gigs?
They were fun. Material needs a little work, but it was fun.
That's why I love you. Your honesty, Rob. That's why you make the best co-host. Well, I'm glad you got it in where you can now, because if you haven't heard, there's a new terrifying variant of COVID. It's the Omnicorpor presence of Omicron. No,
it's only terrifying for one reason, and that's because it is the proof that this strategy never and won't work.
Yeah. Well, that's it, right? Isn't that really it right there? That to just go like, okay, so you had, and it's, you know, it's tough, man, because everybody is so dug into their own propaganda. And there is propaganda on all sides. I mean, the corporate press propaganda is the most dominant form, but there is propaganda on all, you know, sides. But everyone will be able to have their own narrative. And that's what was so damning about demonizing the unvaccinated. And that's why we were so opposed to it from the beginning, because it just lets them go, oh, well, this is why it didn't work. It's because of these people or something else. And, you know, but if you try to look at it objectively, you're like, guys, you had the biggest campaign in history to do it your way. And there's still now another variant that you're terrified of. Doesn't that by any reasonable standard prove that this is just not a feasible path forward?
Well, the good news is this variant might be good news. It might be a even less deadly variant that's more highly transmissible, which, if anything, if we lived in the world of natural immunity, that means more people would get infected and we'd have less cases of hospitalizations and deaths, which is the only issue. So theoretically, this would be good news. And the earliest information that we're getting about this from the doctors in Africa is that thus far, there doesn't seem to be a lot of death.
Which
right?
is very, yes, I got to say, overall, I'm optimistic about the way this is going. Now, I don't want to just put that out there without a caveat. This is scary. And something has changed where the propaganda has gone back up to another level. And it actually seems to me, and I try to keep my eyes on the corporate press and see what they're saying, because a lot of times if you're like red pilled on this shit, and if you know that they're all, you know, if you know the corporate press is the enemy of the people, then it's worthwhile to pay attention to them, I believe, at times, because you can kind of see, okay, this is what they're setting up. This is what they're trying to do. After a while, it's part of the reason why I've gotten good, and I think why a lot of people like this show, at kind of reading what's going on in the situation, because I kind of see their pattern. I can see how they're setting things up. And you can definitely see the propaganda is a higher level than it was with the Delta variant. There's a higher level of hysteria. And so that's something to be concerned about. I don't want to downplay that. I mean, they're talking lockdowns again. This is the first time they've really been talking lockdowns in a long time, that you're just hearing that idea come out of the mouths of a lot of people in the corporate press. And things like this don't just happen to come out of the mouths of people at CNN or written in the New York Times or whatever. It doesn't just happen. It's not like all world leaders across the world just happen to be saying build back better. It's not just like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's a coordinated thing. They're all mimicking each other. And then of course everyone can't be mimicking everyone. So someone is, you know, starting like planting the talking points, but they are frantic and they are trying to use this to push the next round of restrictions. But I do think that there's a real, a chasm between reality and the level of hysteria that the corporate press is putting out there right now. And I think that it's not that governments can't get away with outrageous amounts of propaganda, but we're at a weird place, at least in the United States of America, where we're not a controlled enough society for them to get away with this level of batshit insane propaganda. Like, you're getting to a level where you're like, you'd have to have your people as controlled as like North Korea in order to be able to manipulate them with this stuff. And so I think there's like a real case for optimism in here. I have a feeling, if I had to bet right now, I think this is all going to fail and it's going to blow up in their faces. And that's part of the reason why the hysteria is so high, because a lot of this stuff has been blowing up in their faces, whether it's court cases challenging the OSHA mandates, whether it's businesses pulling back on their restrictions, and also just the fact that people just can't keep it up. I think, you know, what might ultimately win the day on the COVID regime, which, don't worry, after we win the day on the COVID regime, we better all get real smart, because what's coming next is the climate change regime. That's like what's going to be next. I think, all a trial run for what the climate change regime is going to be. But I think ultimately what me and you have been saying for quite a while is starting to be something that it doesn't matter if two jerk off comedians on a podcast tell you this. After a while, the reality is just staring you in the face. And the reality is this: COVID is not going away anytime. It's not going away in our lifetimes. Doesn't matter how many of these vaccines they pump out. Doesn't matter how much propaganda they pump out. Doesn't matter how much social distancing or masking or even more lockdowns. There's going to be another variant and another variant and another variant. And COVID is a part of life now. And people are starting to realize that. And once that really sets in, that you almost take away from Fauci and all these guys in the COVID regime, what was their most powerful propaganda line? And what was that always? Just 15 days, just till Easter, just get through this Thanksgiving, just get through this Christmas. By next summer, it'll be fine. Well, it'll actually be next year, it'll be fine. Once you start to realize that there is no carrot on the end of the stick, that you're never going to get that, I think a lot of people start reassessing how they want to live their lives. So that's kind of what I'm hopeful about.
It's kind of like, at some point you got to get in the pool. You just have to confront it. You know, you can keep tiptoeing or you can just jump in and move on. So I think people are starting to realize, we got to move on.
Yeah, that's right. Because it's much easier to get people to sign up for I'll stay home for 15 days than it is to say, I'll give up normal life forever and for my children and grandchildren. That's a much different thing.
There's something that, because now the freak out here is that they're actually acknowledging the fact that they don't know whether or not the vaccines are going to work for this variant. Now, what's very interesting about that is that I had people come on my podcast, molecular biologists, a year ago and say, hey, Pfizer knows that this isn't going to work for variants. It's a single protein spike. The virus mutates. Believe me, Pfizer knew that. They knew that this wasn't going to work for variants. They knew that. Now, here's what's so interesting about it not working for variants. Their claim is that they can get a new vaccine out within 100 days. So that means within 100 days they can actually make it available. But how long till that means that it's actually in everybody's arms? And then how long until, and then if it's 2 weeks before it actually clicks in, you have the full immunity from it. So what are we actually looking at? We're looking at 4 to 5 months before you've got everyone re-vaccinated. And then how often are there new variants? Isn't it just about every 6 months? So it sounds to me like you're always going to be rolling out a shot that's 6 months behind whatever the active version of the virus is.
Right.
The point being, you don't have a, even if the vaccines worked, you don't have a working strategy with this single immunity protein spikes that are always going to lag behind variants. It's not a working strategy.
Well, this is, and I'll tell you something, man, this is something about, that's a great point. And there's something about, here's what I'm thinking. And then I'm kind of scattered all over in my head. I'll just start with what I'm thinking. Okay. And then I'll go to the bigger point I was trying to make, because otherwise it seems like it's disconnected from what you're saying. So I was talking to a doctor, recently, not like a virologist or a epidemiologist, but just like a family doctor, but a doctor, you know. And I was asking him his thoughts on the vaccine. And, you know, I've talked to a lot of doctors over the last few months. But this one guy particularly, I was just talking to the other day about this new strand, about Omnicopium. And he was like, I was like, so you recommend people get the vaccine? And he was like, absolutely, 100%. You have to get the vaccine. And I was like, do you think this vaccine really works against this new strand? And he was like, well, we don't know. The truth is, we don't know. We just don't know yet. You know,
actually, but he's wrong, because we do know that this has mutated significantly more than Delta. I think the actual number of mutations is something in the 33 range. The scientists themselves at Pfizer are saying we don't know yet, but it is unlikely that it will have the same in the 95%. He's even right.
Here's
for
the
Delta.
Thing, right?
Your doctor friend's an idiot. Put him on the phone with me.
Well, it's not even that he's an idiot. He's a good doctor in his field. You know what I mean? But he's just not, you know, like, but anyway, so he's just, you know, he's buying what the line is, which is what a lot of doctors do with this stuff, is they trust the institutions. They're like, well, yeah, look, they're telling, I go to him, I go, he's recommending people get the vaccine. I go, does the vaccine work against this new variant? He goes, we don't know. The truth is, we just don't know at this point. And then we're talking for another minute. And he goes, well, you know, the reason why it's spreading through South Africa is because they have such low vaccination rates. And I was like, but you just said, we don't know if this vaccine works against this variant. And he just kind of had a moment where he was kind of like, Zed. And I forget exactly what he said, but it was such a cop out. You know, it was like, well, you know, it's all there's a little very complicated involved. And you're like, so there's so many things like that. Now, the point that I'm making, right, is that this guy isn't a bad doctor. I know him. He's a very good doctor. And in no other field would he have something that stupid to say and then have nothing. But, and this is really a huge part of why I'm an anarchist, is that politics just poisons everything. And once even science, it's true with everything. It's true with business and finance, like everything. Once it becomes related to what public policy should be, and then there's all of these different agendas in there and all of these different like state created organizations and experts, or even if they're not state created, state influenced institutions, everything just gets turned to shit. So I remember, I don't know why I was just thinking of this, but so, you know, like just in general, like if you talk to scientists today, if you just went to like a university and went into like any like hard science field, go talk to some like physicist or something, they're like the most brilliant geniuses imaginable. They tell you everything that we know about physics at this point. It just blow your mind. Talk to some chemist and all of it will be like the absolute latest, you know, falsifiable, provable scientific realities that man has figured out, and like all of this stuff, and they're brilliant. So I was at you know, the hospital for my son's surgery, who's doing great, by the way, and thank you to everyone for all the letters and all that stuff. Really heartwarming stuff that I've received. I really appreciate it. It's really impressive. Like, it's just really impressive how amazing medical advances are. I mean, the fact that like your kid can be born with a problem in his heart and they can open up a baby and fix his heart and sew him back up, and everyone, you have all of these unbelievable experts, like brilliant people, like pediatric cardiologists and you know, the surgeons and the just like all of these different people who are like just unbelievable, unbelievable geniuses. And thank God they exist, because they will save your kid's life. And they did save mine. I'm very grateful to them. And everything they do there is like, so, especially when you're talking about like the cardiac NICU unit. And the, they, I mean, when they're and delivery of a woman with who has a kid with this, they're so precise. I mean, everything is so perfect. And we do this and then we do this. And they've thought through everything that they do and they monitor everything. I mean, they're so on top of it. Everything is science-based. Everything. If you ever ask, why are we doing this? Why are we doing this? Why are we giving him that? Why are we doing it like this? They always have the exact answer for you. Here's why we're doing that. Because this is why we do it. Like everything has a perfect answer to it. Except one thing, one thing and one thing only, which is their COVID policy. Like, it's insane. And they literally, at one point I go, they're, did I tell this on the show? I don't know if I did or not, but they, before my wife was giving birth, and when you're giving birth to a kid who needs open heart surgery right now, like it's a whole setup, you know what I mean? Like you're set up right there for the doctors to grab him right after your wife gives birth to him. So before that, we have to wait for, my wife's COVID test to come back in, and they give her one of the, what's it called? The, what's the word? The pH, how am I blanking on this? What is the COVID test? The good one that usually takes like a
PCR.
PCR. That's what I'm looking for. Thank you, Rob. That usually takes like 3-4 days, but they have their own lab there. So you can get it back in like an hour. But it took a while for them to get it back. It took like 2 hours. We're just sitting there waiting for 2 hours, you know? And I'm like asking like one of the doctors and I'm like, so what are we like? I was like, I just don't understand. Like, what's the point of this? And they're like, well, if she tests positive for COVID, cause you know, I'm like, what if she tests positive for COVID? What are you not? You're not going to have the baby now? Are we not going to do the heart surgery now? I'd be like, I think we're still going to do this. Right. So who cares? And they go, well, if she has COVID, then we don't bring the baby up to the NICU. We bring him down here to this little makeshift NICU that we have down here. So he's not with all the other babies. And I was like, wait, so if she has COVID, then the baby has COVID? And they're like, no, no, we've actually never seen a case where the mother had COVID and then the baby also had COVID. Like, that's never happened. And I was like, so then why do you do that? And they were like, it's just like, that's just the procedure. The only thing the entire time I was there, when I asked them a question and their response was, we have no reason for this. This is ridiculous shit.
At this point.
It's just like, but it's so weird in a place of science where everything else is so smart. And so then you're talking to these people and you're like, dude, you're a brilliant genius doctor. Why are you going along with this? And then, by the way, and I flipped out and they backed down on it. Because I really flipped out. They said that she had to wear a mask while delivering. And I go, but she just got a negative COVID test. Like she literally, we just got the negative results. And I was like, so wait, explain this to me. Like, why does she have to wear a mask if you know she's negative for COVID? And they're like, I know it doesn't make any sense, but those are the rules. And I was like, no, wait, you're telling me you're going to make her wear a mask through delivery? Well, and they backed down on it. They're like, they just backed down. It just didn't do it. Like, and like, and it was really, it was one anesthesiologist who was like, just take that shit off. Like, I don't fucking, you know, it's not happening. You know, it was just like one good dude who said, but anyway, so the point of this is, it's just like, man, this whole, like when there's this like political hysteria, it just poisons everything. Even these people who are so smart and are really great scientific minds. Like it's not like they really are. These are brilliant doctors, but still they're just buying into bullshit. So this is what you see happening right now. There is no, I mean, absolutely, positively zero justification for the hysteria over this new variant. None. The all of the early, like firsthand reports, as you pointed out,
should be everybody going, why were we so wrong with this?
Yes.
And why aren't we changing policies? And how is it that you told us that these vaccines at first, it was that they were safe and effective. Then it was, yes, there's going to be breakthrough cases, but you know, magically you're not going to be going sick and going to the hospital and the reporting is going to be screwy, but fine. We'll take your word for it too. Hey, we've got a new variant and we don't even know if the thing's going to work for it, but we're still recommending that everyone gets a booster shot, even though we don't have any, by the way, you know what the real end game here is? It's that we're going to be in such an emergency situation that the prior testing that these vaccine companies were doing was already pretty laxed, but now it's going to be an emergency to the point where they don't even need to test the new formulas. We just got to get them out right away.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. And well, listen, it's not, and the vaccine of all the predictions, which is what's funny, because all of this hysteria, I mean, the state of emergency that was just declared in New York, right? All of this stuff, it's all, there's no numbers to back it up. There's no, it's not like, oh, like hospitalizations are getting this high. Hospitalizations are crazy low right now. It's not like there's any like thing like, oh my God, all these people are dying, or anything like, oh my God, are you know, there's a shortage in hospital beds or anything like that. It's all based on predictions of what this new variant might do.
All right. And by what the predictions experts. Have they been right about?
Exactly. You're like, you guys have been wrong about everything. I mean, look, even just back a couple months ago, about the Delta variant, they predicted this huge spike. I mean, just look at, they were predicting a huge spike in October in New York of the Delta variant. It just never came. They predicted, you know, when Florida had its little mini spike, they predicted doom and gloom and all that. It went away. It resolved itself. And none of that is true. And of course, almost no one wants to talk about the role that natural immunity is playing in all of this, which the irony is that natural immunity actually does seem to be your best protection in general, and also your best protection against future variants. But that's neither here nor there, or actually it is here and there. But regardless of that, you guys were wrong about lockdowns, mask mandates, like closing schools, all the stuff you just said with about the vaccines and what the vaccines would lead to. I mean, they're wrong and wrong and wrong and wrong. And then they're going to go, well, anyway, you know, we predict it's going to be bad, so we're doing all these drastic, you know, taking all these drastic measures again. It's really something. It's like this whole time. It's just, it's like living through a movie, but it's really like, you, I don't know, man. I mean, look, I'm not saying like, oh, don't be worried about this. You should be very worried about it. But I do, I'll tell you, I feel somewhat positive about this. Like, I think you start looking at things like, you're like, yeah, this I don't think can work. All right, guys, let's take a moment and thank our sponsor for today's show, who I absolutely love. And if you're like me and just love bacon and steak, let me tell you about Moink. Moink delivers grass-fed and grass-finished beef, lamb, pasteurized pork, chicken, and wild-caught Alaskan salmon directly to your door, helping family farms become financially independent outside of big agriculture. Their animals are raised outdoors, their fish swim wild in the ocean, and Moink meat is free of antibiotics, hormones, sugar, and all other junk you find prepackaged in the meat aisle. Sign up at moinkbox.com/POTP to get a year of bacon for free, and then pick what meats you want delivered with your first box. Change what you get each month. Cancel anytime. This stuff is delicious. You're going to love this. If you're a meat eater like I am, like real American men are, you will not regret checking out Moink. Moink was founded by an eighth generation farmer who was featured on Shark Tank. Host Kevin O'Leary said it's the best bacon he ever tasted, and I completely agree. Join the Moink movement today. Go to moinkbox.com/POTP right now, and listeners of this show get a free year of bacon. That's 1 year of the best bacon you will ever taste for a limited time only. moinkbox.com/POTP. moinkbox.com/POTP, moinkbox.com/POTP. All right, let's get back into the show. Let's play here. This is how crazy the hysteria has gone. I wanted to play this video. My boy Clint, who was just on the show the other day, Clint Russell from Liberty Lockdown. He's the man. Go check out his show. He just tweeted this earlier, and I saw it today because I don't watch. I really don't watch CNBC at all anymore. But Jim Cramer is somehow still there. And this was his video. This is the money guy, who, by the way, is not even good at that. This is the money guy. You tell me if this is sound analysis or like hysteria. You tell me.
Lord knows what happened if you didn't partake. But back then, anyone who refused to get vaccinated would get ratted out immediately because we knew that person could hurt other people. The common wheel was a common wheel. Now we're engaged in a similar struggle with COVID, and Eisenhower would be aghast. We have immunocompromised people who are incubators for every variant to come, walking around lawfully unvaccinated? That's psychotic. We have companies that have tried hard to get people vaccinated and now backing down. We have governors who want to be president by grandstanding on a foolish state's right issue, the right to get sick, get other people sick. So it's time to admit that we have to go to war against COVID. Require vaccination universally.
Okay, so already, I don't even know what to say there. I guess I'll start at the end and work back. It's time to go to war with COVID. What have we been doing? What has all of this been, if not a war against COVID? This is what was this? We were just, what were these sanctions I've been living through the last 19 months?
He just has to sit together and work with the CNN people who are trying to make domestic terrorism out of the January 6th people.
Yes.
And then if you can just start looking at everyone who hasn't been vaccinated, even though people who have been vaccinated also get sick and might even transmit the virus at higher rates because they think that they just have colds and they're not getting tested, or because they actually shed at higher rates. We don't know.
Yeah,
like unvaccinated or better receptacles or spreaders of Delta, but yet we need to go to war with individuals because they're acting in a free fashion.
It's really something to be like, he goes, he poses the question, he goes, do you have a right to get sick and to get others sick? It's like, okay, well, let's take that in two parts. Number one, yes. Do you have a right to get sick? I mean, what? What does that even mean? Of course you have a right to get sick. Do you have a right to get other people sick? I mean, I suppose there could be like some cases where you don't. I mean, it's like, yeah, okay. I mean, I don't know how you'd apply this principle, but yeah, okay. If you're HIV positive, I think you have to disclose that before you have sex with someone, right? Like, or if you know you have COVID and you go around intentionally coughing at other people's faces, I suppose maybe you could have an argument. But like, a right to get sick and get other people sick, just broadly speaking, like, you want to criminalize that? Like, remove COVID from the situation. You want to criminalize people getting sick and then getting sick with something contagious where someone else catches it. And of course, to your point, it's like, well, I guess you actually do believe people have a right to get sick and get other people sick, but only if they've gotten the big pharma shot first. Then I guess they do have a right to be sick and get other people sick. A weird, creepy, authoritarian thing to throw out there. Do you have a right to get sick? Okay. All right. So he wants a society where we're ratting on everybody else who doesn't have the vaccine. I mean, they're just openly encouraging it at this point. And for all his shit, it's just so funny to be like, where he's like, you got a governor down in Florida who's running on a state's rights issues and saying you have a right to get sick and all of this. It's like, wow. So I bet his state's doing much, much, much worse than everyone else, right? So just show me. Like, really break this down and show it to me. I bet way more people in Florida have died than any other state. Right? South Dakota, Texas, and Florida. They're just bodies on the side of the road.
Yeah, it's not just that, but the winter stats. You know what they didn't tell you throughout the entire summer is that Florida and Texas have reverse seasonality because it's hot and more people are indoors. So you just wait till it's cold here, and we're going to be putting up stats that dwarf anything that happened down there.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right about that. All right, so let's keep playing from this.
Have the military run it. If you don't want to get vaccinated, you better be ready to prove your conscientious objector status in court. And even then, you need to help in the war effort by staying home until we finally beat this thing.
Okay, so there you go. So there's, in case you thought I was maybe being hyperbolic when I said this is authoritarian talk, he goes right into his pondering of, do you have a right to get sick? You know, how we figure this out? Let the military run it. What could go wrong with that? So let the military run it. And then you have to prove your conscious objection status in a court. Oh, that's easy. And until then, what do you have to do? You just have to stay home. Now, keep in mind, it's like, just stay home was one thing in March of 2020. We just need you to stay home for 15 days. But you're telling people in what is almost December of 2021, just stay home? Like, as if that's an option? But what do you mean just stay home? Can people get food? Can people, I mean, like, it's just the level of hysteria over this, over a new variant that, as you mentioned earlier today, from most of the firsthand reports, the people in South Africa who are treating this are saying, seems less deadly.
Which could change. We don't know yet.
But... yeah, no, we don't know. Seems less deadly. Not really sure if more or less contagious. And that's that. So we're at a place now where there is no reason to panic. And of course, they jump into like full-fledged, complete hysterical. Let the military run everything and you have to stay home if you're unvaccinated. Even though we don't even have any solid evidence to show like that the vaccines are effective against this.
Well, I mean, here's how asinine his claim is. One, so what about everyone has natural immunity because they've actually had corona? So they're the safest to be around, especially considering the fact that we don't know to what extent the vaccines are even going to work for new variants. So you're going to stick the military on them for what reason? Unless it's because you're just being authoritarian and you want everyone to have this vaccine so that there's no track record in the future when there are problems that develop from it, theoretically. I'm just saying, what exactly is your end goal here other than just being a complete authoritarian and making sure that there's no individual who remains unvaccinated when anyone who has natural immunity is significantly safer to be around than someone who's been vaccinated?
Well, listen, you have to understand, right, that Jim Cramer he's making predictions, okay? And he's making predictions about how bad a virus is going to be. Now, that's not his area of expertise. He's a money guy, okay? But he's willing to make predictions in virology, okay? He's a money guy. Now, his predictions in money were in 2008 that the big financial companies all looked solid. Just so you know that, how good this guy is at predictions in his own field. He was literally telling people to buy Bear Stearns.
He wiped me out in high school.
Two months before Bear Stearns crashed, he was telling people on his show, buy Bear Stearns. This is a great deal. It was like, I can't remember. John Stewart did a great piece on this back in the day, but it was like $65 a share or something like that. And he was like, you got to buy this. This is an unbelievable deal. It's like he literally, so that's him making predictions in his field that he's supposed to know what he's talking about it. But that won't stop him. That won't stop him from jumping over here.
Dude, Jim Cramer wiped me out in high school. I used to listen to his radio show. Yeah, it was like my entire summer paycheck. It's like General Motors. The old saying was, if General Motors goes, the economy goes. I thought I was a slick high school kid. I mean, it was like $3,000, but $3,000 20 years ago, you know?
It was a lot more than $3,000 now, that's for sure. But I also was a lot to a high school kid.
Yeah, dude, I was a thrifty little Jew boy. Put it all away. Didn't spend $1 of it.
Yeah, so that was in the 2008.
Oh, yeah. Bankrupt. Yeah. Goodbye. Oof, sayonara, geez. Retirement. Haven't invested since. Said, fuck it. I learned my lesson.
No, but I mean, like, it's just something to be like, you know, to be a guy who's a financial analyst who didn't see the biggest financial event of your lifetime coming, now going and making these predictions about other fields, and not just making predictions, but then advocating on your television show for like quasi-martial law and, you know, suspension of all rights for the unvaccinated, just be advocating based on your predictions in this field now, not even predictions in your own field, which you suck at making predictions.
Well, in traditional TV roles, you can be consistently wrong on everything and it doesn't matter. You can get Russia collusion wrong for years.
It's unbelievable.
Coronavirus is wrong. You get everything wrong. It doesn't matter.
Really is something. All right, guys, let's take a moment and thank our sponsor for today's show, which is JamesAllen.com. JamesAllen.com allows you to customize the perfect piece of jewelry that works within your budget. They have fantastic tennis bracelets, diamond earrings, diamond pendants, anniversary rings, and much, much more. I've bought my wife gifts before on JamesAllen.com. She really, really loved them. Let's get honest. If you have a woman in your life, if you have a girlfriend or a wife, you have a mother, a sister, a daughter. In my experience, women really like jewelry, and a nice piece of jewelry just hits different than other gifts do. If you've experienced the same thing, I highly recommend you check out JamesAllen.com. You can choose the diamond's origin, earth created or lab created, the diamond's quality, color and clarity, the metal, the carat size, plus all diamonds are handpicked for maximum sparkle and brought to you online, giving you access to the best quality and the best prices. Most importantly, JamesAllen.com offers 24/7 non-commission based customer service. So you're not going to be pressured into buying anything you don't want to. Each purchase comes with complimentary lifetime services and 100% money money back guarantee within 30 days. So if there's any issue, you can send it right back and they'll take care of that. And I really like that it's non-commission-based customer service. You can just talk to someone, figure out what you're looking for. They're going to find something within your budget that's a beautiful piece that you're really going to like. So get someone you love the perfect gift by going to jamesallen.com. And if you use the promo code POTP, you're going to get 30% off your order. It's an incredible deal. jamesallen.com, promo code POTP30 for 30% off your order. All right, let's get back into the show. Okay, so I wanted to also play this clip that from over the weekend with Fauci was on Face the Nation. People have been enjoying this a lot. Of course, as all this hysteria is going on, we got to get our chief hysteric Dr. Fauci to come on. And just to pay attention, the reason why I thought this was such a beautiful moment is if you just think again about, you know, when I say the corporate press is the enemy of the people, when I talk about the massive propaganda campaign that's been going on this last year, and this is one of the things that's really interesting, right? I was talking about this when I was on Tim Pool's show the other day, right? Is like, or not the other day, it was a couple months ago, sorry. I was saying, like, you know, one of the things that is encouraging to me about the future of the country, right, is that, like, you can, you know, they have this new thing now, and this is going to be part of the hysteria now. Censorship is going to ramp up. And who knows how long before we get hit with it? You know what I mean? Like, who knows how long I'm on Twitter and we're on YouTube and all of this stuff. Your YouTube channel's already dealt with some of this shit. Our Facebook group got fucking banned. Like, we've had a little bit, but we haven't been, like, really brought down. But even if they do, they take us out. And I said this to Tim Pool. I go, so they take you out, Tim Pool. What about like the million people who are listening to your show? What do you think those, what do you think? They just go back to CNN? You think they just go from Tim Pool? You think like if they took Rogan out, the 10 million people that listen to him are just like, well, okay, I'll just listen to Don Lemon. Like, do you think that's where they're going? And it's like, we all of us, like in our own different ways, have made such a devastating case that the corporate press is corrupt and dishonest. And that's kind of the through line. Like me and, you know, like a lot of these other guys, we may not all have the same politics. I mean, there are some people who like Malice and me have very, very similar political, you know, views. Me and you have very similar political views. Me and Tom Woods have very similar political views. But all of these different guys who are out there, who are have big platforms, there's a whole lot of them. The common thread amongst almost all of them is that their audience knows that the corporate press is lying to them. That's like some, and so just to keep building that devastating case, if nothing else, I want to make sure when my time is gone, you know, I want to make sure that I convince as many people as possible. You know, but like all the shit I love, believe in human liberty and free markets and peace and, you know, oppose the military industrial complex, all this shit. But that the corporate press is lying and not to be trusted. Just imagine, okay, just think about what this country has been through over the last 19 months. Was it 20 months now? I get confused since March of 2020. And what that this guy has been the chief like architect of all of that. And that there's all of these accusations out there against him. And look at the way he's interviewed, the way they talk to him. And tell me this is not propaganda. Tell me this is not trying to prop this guy up. This is actually a journalist asking questions of him. Let's start playing. It's about
things that are just not true. This is a political football, right?
Oh, now. It is a total political football. Total.
And you take the fire specifically for this.
I do. I do, all the time.
There's a congressional act with your name on it.
Yes.
Literally.
Exactly. And it's just a lot of, well, anyway.
Finish the thought.
No, there's a lot of politicization of that. And I think there's a lot of misinformation, disinformation, and outright lies about that. And that's really unfortunate.
You're angry about it.
Well, you know, my concern that I keep saying is that my job is to do what I can as a scientist to preserve and protect the health of the American public, and indirectly, in many respects, the health of the world, because our country is a leader.
Okay, let's pause it already for a second. Now, if you, first off, even just the way she's asking that, you know, it's other questions like, and how do you feel? You're angry about that, right? Oh, you don't feel nice about that. She's laughing. And she goes, because you're like on a bill where they're like trying to investigate you. Like, oh. And the fact that you'd let this guy get away with saying, well, there's a lot of politicization of it. You know, things have gotten really politicized. But I'm just the guy who just cares about people. I'm just the health of the Americans, the health of the world. I am just animated every day by what's good and right. And these guys are like politicized. That's what, except your job has been doling out government money to giant pharmaceutical companies. Now, how exactly do you get to have that job? And then I'm talking about his job at the NIH. Like, well, this is what he's done his whole life, is basically like who gets the government money? What lab gets some money? What organization gets some money? What pharmaceutical company gets some money? This is what he does. And the idea that you get to have that job and then also claim that you're above the fray, like, but none of this is political. I just operate that way and get no pushback on this position. Like, he's just, oh, there's all this misinformation about me. Misinformation. After everything this guy has pushed on the American people, he's going to call others out for misinformation. Anyway. Okay, let's go back to it.
A leader in the kinds of things. Where did these vaccines come from that are saving millions of people? They came from us. That's my job. The politicization of it is really unfortunate because, as I've said, I've stayed away from politics my entire life. I am somebody who only cares about science and health. And it is, you're right, it's painful and disturbing to see when you're trying to focus all of your attention on doing what you can do the way we did. To create the vaccines, to develop the drugs, to save millions of lives. And then you have this completely outlandish politicization of it. Politicization of everything. Politicization of the public health, politicization of the origins, politicization of all of it is really, I think when we look back at this.
All right, let's just pause it already for a second. Yeah, well, I do agree with that last sentence that we're going to look back on this and think about what we were thinking. Let me just say, this dude is like a fucking authoritarian sociopath, like a truly bad person who is, you know, while he's saying he's like not politicized, he is the most political creature you could imagine. I mean, this guy is getting up there and going, first off, just the assertion that we saved millions of lives, absolute bullshit. Absolute bullshit. Their policies have cost more lives than they have saved. But just think about the nerve of just being like a couple things here. Think about the nerve of just being like, oh man, this is like, oh, now you're politicizing this when I'm just saving everybody's life. And you're like, dude, you have recommended the most draconian policies in modern American history by far. Like, just overhauling the entire, not just economy, but every like societal norm, just overhauling them. But you're above pushback. You're above anybody arguing against that. That's just politicization. That's just, oh no, you're not allowed to, you have to accept that I'm just the good guy doing all this. And then when he actually introduces even the, however he said it, he goes, even the theories on the origin of the virus have become politicized. Dude, he himself admitted that he couldn't rule out the Wuhan lab. After first saying that was crazy and all the scientific evidence pointed against it, he later walked it back and admitted that he can't rule that out. Okay? So just based on that, the idea of like trashing people who brought that up as an issue is just, wow. Like, yo, you, that dude's a real deal, like, fucking con artist level shit that you'd get up there and just say, oh, but I'm just the good guy who cares about science. Bullshit.
Yeah. Also, just working, the guy who just cares about health and science is probably not in charge of a government agency, right? When you're the most highly paid government official and you dictate a lot of what's happening in the political arena, to then say, hey, don't politicize what I'm doing. It's like a real, it's just a real bitch move. That's what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, just to be like, look, if you were an honest person, like on any level, if you have any type of like, you know, it's like, and this is part of the thing where it's like, in a way I'm kind of happy because this is why it doesn't persuade people. And this is why he won't put people back in his camp who already don't like him. But you would think like, if you were an honest person at all, you'd go like, okay, look, let's say you believe what Fauci believes. You'd say, okay, look, the gain of function that we were funding indirectly at the Wuhan lab is not the gain of function research that led to COVID, you know? But given that now it's a possibility that the virus came from that lab, I understand where that looks really bad. And I understand where people, you know, think there's something like pernicious going on there, but let me just like explain it to you. You know what I'm saying? Like, you'd at least grant that you're like, look, I understand when I'm asking everybody to give up so much, some of them are going to think like, whoa, this is like, can't be right. But here's the deal. Like, it's not even like he feels like he has to make his case. It's this like unbelievable superiority that, look, to even question me is to be down here with the people playing politics, whereas I float above all of that and am just a creature, like an angelic creature who just wants to help and save everybody. And I'm just in the business of saving millions of lives, and you're just in the business of being dishonest bastards who want to tear me down. Motherfucker, you signed off on gain of function research being legal after the Obama administration barred it. You funded the Wuhan lab where this thing likely came from. If you're at all an honest person, at the minimum, you go, I get where that looks bad. I get where some people might have an issue with that. All right, guys, let's take a second and thank our sponsor, which of course is Blue Blocks. I have enjoyed their sunglasses all summer long, and I really did notice a difference. My wife said as well that her eyes used to get sore from driving with the glare of the sun. She throws on a pair of Blue Blocks sunglasses. Doesn't happen anymore. Blue Blocks sunglasses reduce 100% of the glare, giving you the clearest vision. Unlike other brands, Blue Blocks filters 100% of UV light, which prevents damage to the cornea and reduces risk of cataracts. Blue Blocks sunglasses filter just the right amount of blue light, which keeps you healthy and alert during the day. They also just look really cool. They've been seen in Vogue, GQ, and Cosmopolitan magazine, so you know you're getting the most fashionable and stylish frames available. I've tried other brands and they're nowhere near on this level. So if you're in the market for a good pair of sunglasses or just other glasses, blue light blocking glasses, definitely go check out Blue Blocks. They're made in optics laboratories in Australia, not mass produced in factories in Asia. It's all science-backed technology tested to ensure that they work. Unlike other sunglasses companies, Blue Blocks analyzes light and only filter the damaging wavelengths so you can be your healthiest sense. They filter 100% of UV light. Other brands do not do that. They focus on filtering blue light as well, whereas other brands ignore that. Their sunglasses come in non-prescription, prescription, and reading options, styles for everyone, and a virtual try-on app. This is really cool. So you can go on their website and see what the glasses look like on your face. Blue Blocks also has other amazing products such as blue light glasses, low blue light bulbs, red light therapy devices, and 100% blackout sleep masks. They're all backed by science. Blue Blocks ships worldwide in rapid time. They have easy returns and exchanges. So go to blueblocks.com/problem. Use the promo code problem. That'll get you 15% off your order. That's blueblocks.com/problem. And the promo code is problem for 15% off. All right, let's get back into the show. All right, let's keep going.
What's going on back then?
The two Washington Post reporters said that back in July of 2020, you had been speaking to your wife about resigning.
I never spoke to my wife ever about resigning. They got that wrong. I never even considered for a moment of resigning.
Never considered it for a moment?
Not even for a second.
Too many lives to save.
She thought about it almost daily. Ultimately, well, didn't, but...
Dr. Birx is Dr. Birx, and Tony Fauci is Tony Fauci.
Why do you feel so strongly about that, about staying on the job when you become...
The Rock says we're going to save lives.
Personally, not just rhetorically, threatened. Your security, your safety, your family.
Yeah.
How did you deal with that?
I dealt with it by focusing on what my job is. from the time that I went into medicine to the right now where I am at my age, my job has been totally focused on doing what I can with the talents and the influence I have to make scientific advances to protect the health of the American public. So anybody who spins lies and threatens and all that theater that goes on with some of the investigations and the congressional committees and the Rand Pauls and all that other nonsense, that's noise, Margaret. That's noise. I know what my job is.
Senator Cruz told the Attorney General you should be prosecuted.
Yeah. I have to laugh at that. I should be prosecuted. What happened on January 6th, Senator?
Look at his eyes there.
Yeah, I mean, what a just like pathetic. But this is, I'll tell you, man, this stuff like encourages me because like what a pathetic deflection that was. Like what? We're really going to hold on to this? That's so much worse than completely changing the course of American history. But what about that? And first of all, what does that have to do? It's a complete like what? Okay, even if you thought that was a crime, so why are you laughing at the idea that you could be prosecuted? Like, so
also,
bizarre.
He makes it's almost an accusation as if Ted Cruz led the charge on January 6th. Like, I should be prosecuted. That guy did January 6th. He had nothing to do with January 6th.
Yeah.
Like, yeah,
so
maybe.
Weird.
I mean, as a theoretical, you could go January 6th was a problem for because they love it, a threat to our democracy. And then also having people getting in front of Congress and lying about, you know, funding labs that might be bioweapons research for the Communist China Party. That's a problem, too. We should investigate both.
And it's so funny, too, that he's like, oh, the Rand Paul thing is all theater. When at almost every one of their confrontations, Rand Paul has been proven right a matter of weeks later. Like,
right. The track record is three out of three.
It's just unbelievable. As if, oh, but that was all, that's just noise. You know, this guy who's always badgering me and constantly right about everything. You don't want to listen to that guy. Come listen to me.
It's really so, good theater where the other guy keeps winning and being right and you keep being wrong.
Yeah, it's like actually a pretty good thing. It is theater. I mean, that is true, by the way. It is political theater. This interview is political theater. All of it is. But the Rand Paul stuff is at least really good political theater. That's really satisfying. All right, let's keep playing.
About making you a scapegoat to deflect
from
President Trump.
Of course. You have to be asleep not to figure that one out.
By the way, just pause already.
Well, there are...
This is the point I'm trying to make here. Think about that question. Think about your follow-up question after they're saying this guy should be prosecuted and bringing up these, Rand Paul grilling him where Rand Paul was right about all this stuff. And what's her next question? Are you a scapegoat? Because really, Donald Trump's the bad man, but they want to blame you, even though we all know Donald Trump. I mean, like, come on, dude. Like, just pathetic. By the way, Donald Trump deserves nothing but intense criticism for keeping this guy on the job the entire time. The entire time he was president. That's how useless of a president Donald Trump was. He couldn't even fire Fauci, let alone prosecute him. So all he had to do was just fire him once, but he was scared to take the hits, you know, so this won't play well. So he didn't. And he just let him do this to the American people. But I don't know, dude, it's like you've gotten out there and reveled in the fact that you've been on television every day since this thing began and you've made yourself the face of, you know, fighting this virus. So like, yeah, you take a lot of the criticism when the policies that you've been recommending have failed spectacularly. That's life. All right, let's keep playing.
A lot of Republican senators taking aim at this. I mean,
that's okay. I'm just going to do my job. And I'm going to be saving lives, and they're going to be lying.
It seems another layer of danger to play politics around matters of life and death.
Right, exactly.
So now her questions are, so her questions now are, aren't these guys over here so bad? Aren't the people who are questioning you so dangerous? That's what you would ask.
because the fabric of our democracy is supposed to be one centralized person making a decision for everybody. And so how can we have a democracy where people are going to willing to just question the centralized? I think what you're describing is a different political system. That's not the political system we're supposed to have, where just one guy waves a wand.
Yeah. Like, so why are we so, everybody. So what really was so concerning about January 6th to you guys? Just that a different, like, you know, authoritarian would be installed. That's your big threat, that the illusion of democracy perhaps would be crumbling. But, you know, it's the idea that, you know, if you had any type of honest journalism, then they'd be adversarial, and they would be. Look, if they were interviewing Rand Paul and they didn't ask him tough questions, they wouldn't be doing their job. You know what I mean? Like, you should be adversarial to whoever is in that seat. I don't say you have to be a dick or you don't have to be me, but like, you should be, you know, asking very difficult questions of this person. And there's a lot of really difficult questions for Fauci that you could ask. I mean, just look at how many of his prescribed policies have not worked. How many of them have gotten results that were the opposite of what he said? How many, you know, and then, of course, all the connections and the corruption and all that stuff. But for her question to him to be like, isn't it so dangerous of these other guys to question you? Go ahead. Hey, this isn't a question. This is just setting him up. This is just like, we're on a team together. I'm going to carry you through this thing and go. But I got to say, what encourages me is that they're just not very good at it. They're not very good at it. If they were better at it, what they'd want is for her to ask something that seems like a tough question that he could knock out of the park. Let me coach you monsters on how to propagandize people. That would be a better way to do it, to appear to be oppositional to him and then let him win every time. That would be a better way to do it. This is just like so obvious and transparent for everyone to see. All right, let's keep playing.
To me, that's unbelievably bad, because all I want to do is save people's lives. That's what
I haven't mentioned that
for the last 50 years, 40 of which was 37 of which was leading the Institute. And when I see people who scatter around misinformation and lies that can actually endanger the lives of people, but also it is very easy to pick out an individual and make them a target, because that's what people can focus on. Mm-hmm. But you're talking about systems. You're talking about the CDC. You're talking about the FDA. You're talking about science in general. So if they want to, I mean, anybody who's looking at this carefully realizes that there's a distinct anti-science flavor to this. So if they get up and criticize science, nobody's going to know what they're talking about. But if they get up and really aim their bullets at Tony Fauci, well, people could recognize there's a person there, there's a face, there's a vice you can recognize, you see him on television. So it's easy to criticize, but they're really criticizing science.
All right, we got to dip into this. It's so infuriating.
There it is. There's the line. They're really criticizing science. Dr. Truth Science, at it again. Go ahead, Rob.
Well, I thought, I'm not a scientist. I didn't pay attention to science classes, but I thought it was like, you bring a hypothesis, then you get some proofs, then people ask questions, then you got to prove your theory. So it would be very scientific to go, hey, we're looking at evidence that's contrary to what you're claiming. Why are you implementing these policies contrary to evidence? That sounds like that would be the scientific process. It sounds to me, though, when you got one guy who said, hey, I'm God, and because I've said it, that's science. That would be the antithesis of what science is.
Yes, that's exactly right, Rob. When you and I'm glad you use the term God, because that's really, I mean, that's like, you really see the narcissism on display here. I mean, what else can you say about that? But when you say, my declarations, that anybody who is questioning my declarations is actually attacking science, and that these institutions created by the government, the CDC and the FDA, these are science. I am science. And everyone who's criticizing me, it's just what, there's an anti-science flavor. And anyone who seriously looked at this knows that. That people who criticize me are anti-science. And my definition of anyone who's seriously looked at this are the people who agree with me and are a part of these institutions, by the way. So if you say that my declarations cannot be challenged, what you're talking about is not science anymore. And I said, I'm no scientist, but I know that ain't science. That sure as hell ain't science. Science isn't the CDC any more than education is the Department of Education. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is an unbelievably, it's a profoundly religious way to look at things. And that's not a knock on religion. I'm just knocking this particular religion. It is a religious way to look at things, that my decrees are not to be questioned, and that even questioning those decrees is itself evidence that you do not believe in everything good and virtuous. Notice what's missing here in this interview. That hasn't happened once. And this is what's like infuriating. And this is kind of what I was getting at in the world of like the alternative media, like a show like ours, right? And there's way bigger shows in the alternative, you know, media world or whatever you want to put us in, just the political commentary space.
Or the best and most consistent.
By far. But that goes without saying, everyone listening already knows that. If you ever heard us doing a segment about this, what's missing here that we would obviously do? All he's talking about, what he's said, you have these short segments on TV. This is a long segment for a TV show. It's nothing like what you get to do on the internet shows like we have here, but this is long for a TV show. And not once throughout this whole thing, have you heard simply, this is what they're saying, and here's why they're wrong. Am I wrong about that? Has there been one time that Fauci has said a single thing? Well, this is what the accusation is, but look at all this evidence. Think about this logically. This is why they're wrong. Not once, not even approaching it, not even pretending to grapple with the idea that anyone is suggesting anything. Like, not one. Like, it's like, well, people say that the lockdown had all of these other, you know, like costs to it. Like, there were all these other negative externalities associated with lockdowns, like child obesity going up and, you know, suicides and all of this stuff, and the economy being destroyed, and all the money printing led to inflation. So it wasn't really worth the lives. Like, just take one. There's never one time where he's like, well, that's what people are arguing, but here's why they're wrong about that. And if me and you were ever doing a segment about people who are criticizing us, let alone trying to prosecute us or anything like that, you know, that's all we would do the whole time. They'd be like, well, here's their argument, and here's why we think we're right. Here's our argument. He hasn't done that once. Yet in this short segment, the head scientist who represents truth and science, he gets on television, and he's already told me 6 times that all he cares about is saving lives. Like 6 different times, he's just going to let you know what a great person he is. Well, okay, you know what you don't care about? Winning arguments, because you're not even interested in engaging in them. And that doesn't seem super scientific to me. Like, that you just, what's scientific about just getting on there and anointing yourself Mr. Science and telling everyone what a wonderful person you are, and everyone who challenges you has all of these ulterior motives? And never once, like, none of them even feel, it's like, and this is what I was saying about all of the alternative shows. Yes, we're more correct than the rest of them on our arguments, even though a lot of them are really great people. But the people listening to it care about that. They actually want to hear what the argument is that's a counter argument to them. I'm not saying they're always hearing perfect arguments. I'm not saying we always give perfect arguments, just almost always. But they want to hear that. And this is just propaganda. And it's like, you haven't even approached it, not once. Am I crazy, dude? Not once throughout this whole thing have they once said, well, here's the claim about you. Let's take that on. It's just people are challenging you. Well, I just have to laugh at that. Oh man, these people challenge him. I mean, this is just, it's just not science. It's just, I'm trying to save people, and what they're doing is just, it's just horrible. And they want to prosecute you. That's just noise. But it's never one time even approaching kind of like, well, here's what they're saying. Like, what? Here's what they're saying. What's your response? That's what like journalism would look like. You don't even have to, she doesn't even have to be aggressive. She could just be like, even approach it from the area of like, well, obviously you have a response to this. So what's your response? Nothing. Not once. Just ends with, and I declare myself Dr. Truth Science. I mean, this is some really, it's like, it's some cult shit. That's what it is. It's some cult shit. He's established that he is the great leader. He is the great one. He is not to be questioned. And anyone who does question him is on the evil, you know, like blasphemous team. Now, follow your leader, Dr. Fauci, and everybody drink your Kool-Aid, which is like your next round of lockdowns and vaccinations or whatever the fuck. But I don't know. It's just something. It's something to behold.
I love your Fauci impression. You got to bust it out more.
Fauci, yeah. All right.
Yeah, I try and do it. I just end up in Bernie Sanders' space, but you got that down, dude.
No, it's different. It's different. It's like the Bernie Sanders. The Ginzo and Jew impression has some overlap. I say this as a Jew who's married to an Italian who has made two halvesies. There is some overlap, but the Bernie Sanders is a more like minimum wage. We knew this, and also my coffee came not that hot, and you know the soup is bland. So we raise the minimum wage, the soup won't be so bland.
It's a little more Yogi Bear in there.
Yeah, yeah. My Bernie's not perfect, but Fauci, yeah, no Fauci. I don't know. I'm not really a voice guy, but yeah, I did get the Fauci one. All right. Anyway, all right. Are we? How are we doing on time here? I guess we'll wrap it up there. Fauci.
So let's tease the next episode. We got Cajona's some good. We got good leftovers. We got Rand Paul's and Ted Cruz's response.
Oh yeah, we could do
Chris
that.
Chris Cuomo stepping down from CNN, not stepping down, but
he didn't step down, buddy.
Yeah, temporarily suspended.
Didn't you kind of feel for him a little bit on that one? And no, I hate Chris Cuomo, but
I don't feel for him at all.
Well, okay, fine, but I just feel
he's such a bully. It's like it's nice to actually see him kind of to whatever extent.
It's nice to see him go down. He deserves to go down. But it is funny that for all the shit he should have gone down for, he goes down for like just trying to be a bro to his brother. Like just being like, I don't know, dude. It's funny. It's like for all the shit Cuomo did, the thing he goes down for, and for all the shit Chris does, this is what he goes down for. But anyway, yeah, we talk about that. We get in the Maxwell trial a little bit. Yeah, see, we'll talk all about that on the next episode. Anyway, thanks for listening, guys. Catch you next time. Peace.